Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
And so if you look there, John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, it's probably part of a passage you're very familiar with. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me." Of course, the key to this passage is really in verse 27, "And my sheep listen to my voice." My sheep listen to my voice. And I want you to know this morning, our culture at large, if you watch the news of very long, they really ridicule our faith that we believe that we can hear God, that God speaks. But I'm going to tell you this morning that God still speaks. He still speaks to His children. And we believe that. We believe that God still speaks to us. It's not a weird thing. It's not an odd thing. It's not an abnormal thing. God is still speaking. And we know His voice. I know that we question that. And so hopefully this morning I can help you just a little bit with that. But there are hindrances to hearing God's voice. And I think before we can ever get into how we hear God's voice and how God speaks to us, is we have to remind ourselves of, be aware of the things that hinder God's voice in our life. And one thing is this, it's unconfessed sin. If we have unconfessed sin, it is a barrier to us to hear the voice of God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 59, "Listen, the Lord's arm is too short, is not too weak to save you, nor is it his ear too deaf to hear you call. It is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, He has turned away and does not listen anymore." Now, the thing is this, is that we do not have to be perfect to hear God's voice. That's not what this is about. But if we, especially as believers, if we are living in a way that is outside of what God's Word has told us to live, it hardens our heart to God's voice. The Bible says it sins deceitfulness that hardens our heart. And when our heart becomes hard, it makes us difficult to hear God's voice. And so if we're living a life, an immoral lifestyle, if we're living our life outside of the way God's Word tells us to live, then we are living in sin. And the power of us coming into a place of surrender and submission to God and saying, "God, search me. God, you do that work inside of me," and we totally submit to Him. The Holy Spirit will search our heart, and remember the Bible says, we use this verse all the time, but it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is just and able to do what? To forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There's a second reason that we don't hear God speak to us, and that's simply from rebellion. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's something that happens. This is where Saul, King Saul, disqualifies himself as king. But the Lord gave Saul a command. They're going to go against this army, and they're going to defeat him. And God spoke to them and said, He told Saul, "Hey, you know, you're going to destroy everything." And so, but Saul went in with his army, and they won. But the problem was is that they disobeyed God, and that they kept a lot of the cattle and sheep and different things and for sacrifices. And that really upset God. In verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15, we see where the prophet Samuel tells Saul, it is better to obey than the sacrifice. And what that really means is this, it's better to obey than to worship. It's better obeyed than the worship. Why? Because obedience is worship. And so if we are walking in disobedience, we are putting up a barrier for us to hear God. God isn't going to speak to us, and I really believe this, and so I want you to listen to me very carefully, is that God isn't going to speak to us until we have obeyed the last thing that he told us. The reason sometimes that we grow deaf to God's voice is because so many times God has spoken to us, he's guiding us in a way, and we're like, we get to the point where we're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go that far, God. I don't know that I'm going to do that or obey that. But we have to obey everything the Lord speaks to us. The third thing is very simply busyness and distraction. Is that, you know, life is crazy. It is, you know. I can't remember exactly the guy that said it, but it was like in 1800s that said, like, by the year, you know, 2000, that, you know, we'd only be working like a couple hours a day and, like, have, you know, 20 weeks of vacation a year. And I'm like, where's that guy? If there's somebody that missed it, I think he missed it. I mean, I was telling Angela here a while back, I think just a couple of weeks ago, I was reading this thing of where that before lights were invented, the average American, I think I shared this a couple of Sundays ago too, but the average American slept 10 hours a night before lights were invented. And now our average is like 5 hours a night. And I'm like, man, if I get five, that'd be awesome. I mean, busyness and distraction, I mean, our culture, we're just bombarded by it. And it'll prevent us from hearing the voice of the Lord. But how does God speak to us? And so I want you to be aware of those things, because we do need to do heart searches, but I'm going to tell you that God still speaks to us. And one way that he speaks to us is a still small voice. Is a still small voice. And what that voice, that's that voice on the inside of us. There's a scripture in 1 Kings. It's where Elijah, it's after Mount Carmel and all this, God used him very powerfully. And then long story short, he's running for his life and he's hiding in a cave. And the Lord speaks to him. And in 1 Kings 19, God speaks to him. He says, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there. And the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that rocks were torn loose. I mean, there's West Texas wind, but I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, here this mighty wind is tearing rocks loose from the mountain. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after earthquake, there was fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of the gentle whisper. And God uses that whisper to speak to our hearts. And I think for several reasons, it's a partnership between us and the Lord. If you look in Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, we see Paul talk about something that is very significant. And I think the reason why we do not hear the still small voice is because we pass it off that it sounds like us. And if you look in Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, Paul is writing there and he says something very significant to me. He says that his conscience confirms it and the Holy Spirit. He was writing about, I mean, that he would, he was actually, is a gut-wrenching thing what he's writing about. He's saying that he would be willing to give up his eternal life in essence for his brethren to know about Jesus. And to solidify the impact of this statement that he's saying, listen, I'm telling you guys the truth, and the Holy Spirit is bearing witness in my conscience. And so the thing is this, when you talk to yourself, who does it sound like? I mean, sometimes when I talk to myself, it sounds like my mom, but usually it sounds like me. I mean, when I'm thinking about something in my conscience, it sounds like me. And the reason why you pass off that still small voice is because that's where the Holy Spirit whispers that voice is into your conscience. Are you with me this morning? Does that make sense? And so sometimes we hear that still small voice that says, you know what, go buy them supper. You know what, pray for them. You know what, send them a card or whatever it might be. We need to listen to that still small voice. And so God uses his still small voice. The second thing is that God speaks to us through his word, obviously, right? I mean, his word is, matter of fact, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, hearing the good news about Christ. And what this verse literally is talking about when it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing the good news, hearing that word of God, what that means is the now word of God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the now word of God. God's word has a word for you now. Now, I mean, when I look at the promises of God's word, I would not have made it to in life this far. It is the promises of God's word that I have been able to stand on. We've been going through this series, The Journey, and I think back of when I was battling about this life change, and you know, I knew that God was forgiving me, and that God was working me, yet I was battling with the past in such a real way, and it was, you know, I felt that weight of the past, of those mistakes, all that regret, and then I came across a simple verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old is gone, and everything becomes new. And it was the promise of God's word. Are you with me? It was when I was feeling like, did God really love me or care about me or cared what I was going through? And I came across a scripture in 1 Peter that says that we cast all of our concerns upon him because he cares for us. It's the promise of God's word that I was able to stand on. And I'm going to tell you, we need the word of God at work in our life. The third thing is this, is through a sense of peace. It's through a sense of peace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Now the thing is this, when you're praying for direction and you're praying for God to guide you or lead you or speak to you, sometimes it happens with a still small voice. Sometimes that's going to happen through the promise of his word. But sometimes it's going to happen whether or not you have a peace in your heart or not. And I'm going to tell you, if you do not have peace about something, then don't act on it. You don't move beyond that peace. As a matter of fact, that when it says that his peace, that let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart, what that means is that rule in the Greek is to decide or umpire. And we know the job of an umpire, right? He's the one that calls the balls and strikes in life. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is trying to do, whether he brings peace upon you. And I have made many decisions because I wanted it, regardless if I felt the peace or not. And I have come to regret it every single time. I'm a slow learner. And every time I think, you know what, I know I didn't have the peace. And we have to have that peace. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in John 14:26, but when he, the Father, sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give as a gift to the world, it cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. The peace that only God can give, God can give. We can't find that peace from anywhere else. There's another thing, through open and closed doors. Through open and closed doors. And I do think we need to be careful about this. When the Bible says in Revelations 3:7, write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And when he closes, no one can open. I'm sure many of you in this room, you've prayed that prayer, right? Lord, open up a door that only you can open and close the doors that only you can close. And I do believe the Lord leads us this way. When I think about still, I mean, I've been carrying this dream and passion for more than 7 years now. And we even have attempted and tried, but I really think that our church, God wants to use our church to plant other churches. And, you know, here a couple of years ago, we thought God was opening the doors and everything. But the stuff, things just hadn't worked out yet. But you know what? God's timing is perfect. It's always perfect in every area and part of our life. And God will open up those doors when it's time. And so if you're looking for direction, if the door is closed, quit beating your head against the door. Right? It may make life a lot easier. God can also speak to us through other people. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what we're given here is just the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we are a Pentecostal church. And of course, people speaking into our life is far more than this, but I wanted to use this as an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. So another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And what we see there is just some examples of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we see several of those. One is, we see the word of wisdom, we see the word of knowledge, we see the gift of prophecy, and all those are gifts of the Holy Spirit that people speak into our life. They are messages from the Lord that only the Holy Spirit can give. And we talk about, if anybody ever read your mail, or you know, how they know that about me, and be able to speak truth into our life. But it's not just a thing of the spiritual gift of the Spirit. God has given us, in a body of believers, I mean, we have people in all maturity levels, even in this church. You have people that have been saved for a little while. And I'm going to tell you, those that have been saved for a little while have some godly experience and godly wisdom to speak into your life. When Brother Paul or myself, who is up here giving God's word, the Bible says that when God's word is given, it's like that seed being cast out. And we want to be that good soil to receive God's word. And as we receive God's word, the Bible says, well, what we receive, what happens is a harvest made 30, 60, 100 times that which is sown. And so to hear God's voice, what I'm just saying just very simply this morning is this, is that we ask God to search our hearts. We ask God to search us. Lord, am I living my life the way that you desire for me to live? We want to ask the Lord, I talk about this very often in Psalm 139. The Bible says that he searches us and he knows us. Nobody knows our heart like God knows our heart. He knows the depths of our heart. And we ask God, search my heart. And again, this is not something to hold us down. God's not trying to, you know, hold his thumb down on us or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you that there is no freedom like being completely free. I mean, when we come into the place of saying, God, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. I mean, I don't want any unconfessed sin in my life. You know, and there's times I miss it. There's times I make a mistake. You know, I tend to be a smart aleck. And maybe we got a church full of them. I don't know. I'm just joking. By this last week, I tell you, I came across a verse in James 1. And I just been asking the Lord to just contend with my heart. And I've been just kind of focused on this verse this last week. And I, you know, it's one of those things you read over and over and over and over again. And, you know, for whatever reason, it's just that prick of the Holy Spirit that makes it jump out. But it's James chapter 1. And it says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. I mean, that's not something that, maybe that's for y'all, I don't know. That was really, I was like, you know what, I'd much rather bridle my tongue. And so what happens is now the Holy Spirit brought this aware to me, and so now I'm conscious of it, and so now I've got to ask the Lord to forgive me, to bridle my tongue, right? I mean, I just don't want to pop off and hurt people's feelings or be a smart aleck when it, you know, it's not called for. I mean, sometimes it's called for, but, you know, the Bible says to know to do good and not do it is sin. And so I want to ask the Lord, Lord, just wash me, forgive me. Is there an area of my life that you've spoken me to be obedient in an area and I have not been obedient in that? I want to go back to that place and be obedient. I want to be obedient. And I, Lord, I want to, if you've got a, whatever it takes for me to, I got to get to my quiet place to get away from the busyness and the distractions. You know, because I tell you what, it never fails. It doesn't matter what time, it doesn't matter how early it is or how late or what time it is. If I decide, okay, I'm going to go to my prayer closet, I'm going to pray, and I don't turn my phone off, I could not get any calls all day long, but during that closet time, my phone is going to blow up. I mean, it's just the way that it is. And so we got to separate ourselves from that. And know when God speaks to me, he can do it through that still small voice. He can do it by bringing peace into my life. He can do it by me opening up his word and giving me specific direction of a promise of his word. He can send somebody. God sent me and Angela somebody this last week. I'm going to tell you, nobody is skeptical, as much of a skeptic as I am about things sometimes. And so this guy, he calls us and he's like, hey, I got a word from the Lord from y'all. I need to come talk to y'all. I know who this guy was. I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, and I'm going to take that with a grain of salt, and I'm going to make sure it lines up with God's word, right? And so it's going to go, even when God speaks with through somebody else, and you know what, I do believe he was sent from the Lord. I do believe he had a word for us, and we receive that, and so God can speak to us through other people. And so I want to ask you to stand, and if you're a baptism candidate, we're going to ask you to get ready. For those of you getting baptized, and but I want you to stand this morning. You're a gracious people to allow your sick pastor to preach to you. I assure you. But here's what I want us to do for just for a moment. Is that I believe that I think sometimes that we think that God is going to, you know, chase us down and, you know, tell us what he wants us to hear. And I don't think that's the way it is at all. I think we are the ones that the Bible says if we draw near to God in James, James 4, if we draw near to God, he draws near to us.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.